As we come to the next portion of the service, we get to hear what God has put together. It's His words that we pray for. It's His words that we seek. It's His message that we seek. You join me in prayer as we take this to God. Most kind, wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, we thank you for the facility that you provide, for the community of believers that are here, and God, for the unity that you just pour into us and you model it yourself. God, I ask that you would take the words, whatever comes out of my mouth, that you would hear, each one here would hear what you have for them. God, this is your message, your words, your directions, and help us to drink in, listen for what you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title is Complete Acceptance. Fully in agreement, sold out to something. That's when complete acceptance. You are all in. There's no question. This is what you believe, what you accept, what you are sold out for. Does this concept apply in today's world? Does it apply in your world? Today's text is from John 10, 1 through 10. And having just had that text read, what did you hear? Now, I will be very honest, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one, that sometimes it's real easy to zone out, space out when someone's reading scriptures, reading the same text. But what did you hear today? Does complete acceptance resonate with you? Is that even a term that you can quantify in your life? The characters of today's text are sheep, a sheep pen, a gate, thieves and robbers, and the main character, the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And he is always the main character. Anytime we go through things, Jesus Christ is the center of the center. That's something we need to be focused on and recognize. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, a sheepfold or the pen that they go in at night. And not always in culture in some of the Middle East do they go in, but they go into a collective area where they maybe have a stone wall around them. Maybe it's trees, but there is a place that the sheep are sheltered or cared for the night. And this pen or sheepfold is a protected enclosure. It's not something that is just out on the prairie type effect. There is an enclosure around them. A safe place where the sheep are kept safe and secure. This is something that is provided. The shepherd wants to take care of the sheep. A thief and a bandit, they climb over the walls, maybe work their way through the wall, knocking pieces down. But they clearly do not belong. Bad intentions to steal, to harm, to take what is not theirs. That's the thief and a bandit or a robber. And it's at the expense of the sheep. They're the vulnerable ones. They're the ones that really don't have a lot of defense from themselves. They just don't. In our world, there's competing voices religious voices, political voices, violent voices, anxious voices, voices promising safety, control, success, voices that rule by fear or force. It's also true today. We are surrounded by noise, social media, news, culture expectations, fears, maybe even within our own thoughts. Those are very real. Those are those competing things for our attention. And we can fall into those things so easy. It's so easy to go down the rabbit hole. They're so easy to, when things don't work just right, we get all amped up and anxious and fear sets in and our mind just goes into a loop. And the loop doesn't get better. Not every voice that sounds spiritual or claims to speak for God has our good in mind. Maybe think about someone that has been hurt by church, by a religious leader, or an organization. And there are a fair number of those out there as well. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful to the noise around you. We are anchored in God's Word, the Bible. There are many books. There are many letters, all kinds of material that we can read that may have some truth to it, but is it in the Bible? Is it a part of what has been established as the foundation for us, the Bible? We must be very careful as we go into these other areas. The interesting thing is, deception. Satan uses deception in many forms. And we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Eve and Adam both fell prey to that deception. It's interesting that not every voice has your best interest at heart. And that can be true of it so many levels. But sneaks and hides those voices, those words, use deception to harm, enter unrightfully into our thoughts. They are imposters. And if we aren't careful, we can listen to those increasingly. Once you start down a trail, if that's where you start going, pretty soon you've deviated from the core, the center, what God's Word is. Maybe you just bumped off course just a little, but as that plays out, that separation happens. Be very careful what you put in your mind, what you allow that noise, that voices to play into you. Be very cautious. The enemy doesn't care how he wins. We're going to talk of the shepherd. Everything you hear about the shepherd as we go through this is all positive. There's not negatives. The shepherd comes through the door. He belongs. He is trustworthy. He is open and honest. Recently, my wife and I have been watching a video series on the House of David. And like everything else, it's got pieces that don't necessarily line up perfectly. But there's a lot of scripture. It's always fun to watch and then go back and read and see how they deviated or how they were very much on. But the sheep, David was entrusted to care, or actually he was told by his father, go up into the hills, you take care of the sheep. He wasn't very well loved in his family. You can read that in scripture too. He was the runt, but he wasn't the one that was the big person. But his sheep knew him. A shepherd doesn't drive their sheep. The sheep follow their shepherd. When we were in Israel 6 years ago, driving along on the bus, looking out into the open areas, you would see a shepherd and sheep together. Just as true today as it probably looked like back multiple centuries ago. The shepherd was leading. The flocks, you know, in our world here, we think of thousands and huge. In that world, there were a lot of different flocks, but they weren't huge. They were small, much like we are a flock of, if you want to use that term, a small group of sheep, using that analogy. And the shepherd that we hear from, we know, we trust. But he also was other places as well. But the shepherd is there for our well-being. That's what we rely on. We don't want to succeed or do things outside of his purview. But his purview is what's probably drawing us into being successful. It's his direction. That one is huge. That one I hope everyone can resonate with. But this is the word that I wish the world could understand, and someday will. But the shepherd loves us. Even when we're very dense, when we just kind of, things don't click. He loves us in our brilliance. He created who we are. He loves us on our good days and bad days. And we're in our bad days. Do you feel like God's really loving you? He does. When we behave and when we don't, God loves us. You think of maybe a child that you had that tested some of these things. And I'm sure some of you have someone in the family, whether it was your own kids, your brothers and sisters. There was one. There was always that one that just seemed to push the buttons. But God loves them, and you love them as well. They tested your patience, I'm quite sure. But did you ever just quit loving them? No. He doesn't quit loving us. He, in fact, is wild about us. He never leaves us, ever. This is the shepherd's picture of with the sheep. He is wild about those sheep. He cares for those sheep. He doesn't leave them alone. He doesn't, okay, you guys just go out and forage for a while and we'll get back together later in the day. No, the shepherd is with them, with us, with them. All the time, and he never, ever leaves us. And the shepherd comes through the gate, through the opening that is designed for the entrance, egress into the sheep pen, through which we experience everything. We come through the gate that Jesus Christ opens for us. He is our opening into his world, a world that we can't come in without his invitation. The incarnation, God becomes flesh in Jesus. We have someone that totally understands us, who entered our world, our human existence, our human world, our humanity, to give himself. That's what he came for. He didn't come for a lot of other things. He came to give himself to us. Not to take or steal, but to give. That's the shepherd that we have, Jesus Christ. Not to take or steal, but to bless and to give. The Father sends the Son to save. That's what Jesus came for, to save. He totally cares for us. And even with our own family members, We care, but can we say we totally care? As best as we humanly can, probably for most of us that would be very true. There's no question when it comes from the Father to the Son. And the Son comes among us as a shepherd, as someone that draws us to Him. He knows our name. He cares for us. He comes amongst us with a welcoming voice of, please come. I have something very special for you. And it's true. It's not fake. It's not false. It's real. The Spirit opens our heart to recognize this kind of relationship. The world around us doesn't portray a relationship that is all warm and fuzzy and full of love. I don't care who you are. Humanity in this world is broken. And there are times that brokenness attempts to break us. But the Spirit opens that our hearts to recognize this rule, to awaken us to what God has done through His Son Jesus to come and to save us. Picking back up in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I can tell you from personal experience, when you name an animal, specifically a sheep, they soon figure out you're talking to them. They know who they are by name. And a shepherd, and this was always amazing to me, they know which one is which by name. And I realize it's not cheap. My grandfather, when he would go out and check his cows, and he had a lot of cattle, he knew which one was missing. He would look and see, and he knew. And he knew what to go look for. When that's your world, you become very familiar with the animals, the in this point, the sheep. And we have a shepherd that knows us that well. He knows when we are having a good day. He knows when we're having a bad day. He knows when we're maybe a little dense this day. But he's there. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he goes ahead of them. Doesn't herd them, he leads them by going ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. It's a voice that can be trusted. It's a voice of honesty and love that's in front of us. He calls us by name and adapts us to his voice. When we read from Psalms, do we hear God's voice in that? Do we hear what he's telling us, teaching us? When Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, he is also saying, my sheep recognize that I will lead them to life. The sheep don't expect their shepherd to lead them into a pit full of wolves or coyotes or enemies. They trust that they will be there. David, in the story, if you read, killed a bear, killed a lion that were preying on the sheep. And he sought God to help him in that because he knew this was beyond his ability. But he trusted and God provided. God always looks out and takes care of his sheep. We are likened to sheep. With Jesus, who is our shepherd. That's the story that's in this, in John 10. That is who we are portrayed as. Sheep know and trust their shepherd. Do we know? Do you know and trust your shepherd, Jesus? What's interesting, when large groups of flocks, different shepherds, they would all bring their flocks maybe to a place to water at noon or whatever. And these sheep, they don't all stay all right together. They kind of the way we do when we're in a crowd, we get together, we start mixing with other people, which is good. That's a positive thing. It's not a bad thing. But when it's time to go, the shepherd calls his sheep. And the ones that belong to his flock come with him. They don't stay in this group of, where do I go now? What do I do? Which one do I go with? It's clear. Go with the shepherd that brought you, that gives life to you. In verse 5, the sheep, they will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Do we do that? Have today's voices become so common we can't tell truth from the noise? And that is a very real thing to think about. Because we are bantered from all sides at all levels of noise, of those voices, of those words, of those readings. How many times have we heard over the last few years the term fake news? And another new one now is AI. Can we trust what we're reading? Can we trust what the pictures are, the story? Because if it's not something that God is behind, the enemy is casting deception. And I'm not saying that AI is bad. I'm not saying that news is bad. Be very aware of what you allow to come into your mind. Trust the shepherd. Trust him to guide you. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Take some time, I encourage you, to read those three chapters. And you will hear about the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, and the peacemakers. These are words Jesus wants us to take in. This is his word directly from the Bible, giving us solid foundations on what we can draw to from him. The Good Shepherd's kingdom is life, not death. Love, not hate. Healing, not harm. Restoration, not violence. Generosity, not greed. Truth, not deception. As we take in things, as we look at where did they fall in this? Which side of that equation? Use God's word as a filter that you see everything. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. It's interesting. This section of reading today, verses 1 through 10, is broken into two sections. 1 through 6 is one section that we've been going through. He shifts in verse 7. It's along the same parallel, but he shifts the image just a little bit. So beginning in verse 7, so again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is not talking about keeping people out. He's talking about keeping life in. He's the gate. Come in. There's life eternal through this. A shepherd would lie down in Jesus' time, and it's much the same because I saw it in Israel a few years ago. A shepherd will lie down across the entrance of the sheepfold or the pen at night. And I wish I had a picture. I don't, but I'll try and do an image for you. You have either a hedge of foliage or maybe a stone wall, and there's one entrance in and out that is a legitimate entrance. And the shepherd lays down in that opening, in that gate, and that's where he sleeps at night, so that nothing comes through that gate without his knowledge. The sheep are protected. They are in this secure place. And the only access, legitimate access, is through an opening in the gate that is now not open. It has the shepherd sleeping, resting, being there on watch, so that nothing comes in. That image tells us what? That we are watched for and cared for. Jesus does. He watches over us. He cares for us. We are under his guidance and protection. The Father does not protect us from a distance. The Son protects us by self-giving love. Jesus places himself between the sheep and the danger. He puts himself between us and danger. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came to redeem all things. He is a God of abundance. Can we imagine what the word abundance means when it's coming from God? I can't imagine that big. I can't get my mind to wrap around God's abundance. Because in my mind, it doesn't end. It's forever. And it just goes on and on. He said that all he has is ours in Christ in this world. We're co-heirs. And that means equal heirs. That promise is to us. The life he now lives is shared with us. Jesus' life is shared with us. And it only happens. We can only truly understand what that fullness of life in Christ is when it happens with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot have that fullness of life without God in his triune glory being a part of it. I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. Did they experience fullness of life? I think it was in front of them. I think they were experiencing it to some degree till they chose deception. They fell for deception. In the world to come, fullness of life is going to be there. It's something we haven't experienced. We have never totally to the nth degree to the reality, but we come in spirit in this world experiencing life because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are involved in our lives. Did your life change with you accepting Jesus into your life? And I'm not talking about this dramatic shift of things, but has your world changed? Has your world become so much more than it probably would have without him? Maybe you have a friend that you've grown up with. They chose a different path. Has their path deviated from yours? Probably. Maybe their path is full of wealth and materialism and all these things, and yours is not. But do you feel that what you have is much more valuable in Jesus? I think it is. I believe it is. Life where fear does not rule. Can you imagine what that would be like? No fear. We can go out any time, day or night, and not have fear. We can walk any city, street, any rural path in the wilderness and not have fear of anything or anyone. That's what fullness of life will be. Life without fear. Life with relationships that are healed. What's a healed relationship look like? Caring, loving relationships, trust and harmony and community. Can you imagine what that relationships will be? Maybe we get tastes of it and pieces of it, and maybe amends have been made with you and someone that you've been at odds with for maybe decades. And God is merciful and you've reconciled. How special is that, to have that friend and that reconciliation? How much bigger and better and wonderful will it be when it is worldwide, universe-wide? When we think of relationships that are healed, nobody's at odds with one another, always looking for something positive with each other. Life where peace is stronger than violence. All you have to do is turn on your computer, open your smartphone. Do you see peace? Is it full of all the peace stories of how awesome things are? No, it's war and violence and greed. And this side's better than this side. This side's more for you than this side. There's no harmony and there's no peace in that. Life where scarcity is replaced with more than enough. What is more than enough? Can you quantify what is more than enough? Enough that we joyfully share. That's one definition of more than enough. Are we grateful for what God has blessed us with? How many of you skipped breakfast this morning? By choice. How many skip breakfast because there was no food and you chose, and there was no choice? You skipped because you didn't have anything. Or dinner last night that you didn't have any dinner. Or, well, I'm going to wear that same dress or that same shirt and pants because that's the only one I've got. We don't live in that. We all have, most of everyone in here ate breakfast, by the way. And those that didn't, it was their choice. I could tell that, you know, there was food. And you all aren't wearing the same thing that you've wore for every Sunday service for the last year. You have different clothes on, different patterns, different colors, different. Because God has blessed us with enough, more than enough. The Good Shepherd is known by the life he gives. Think of the word gives. This is what God does. He gives. Jesus gives. Is that all? Is there more? Interesting question. Is there more? Verse 16 is outside of our reading purview, but is there more? In verse 16 of John 10, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. There's a lot going on outside of our world. There are people up and down the street, around this community, in this city, that Jesus calls his sheep, refers to them as sheep. They haven't come to this fold. They haven't gone to maybe any fold. But that doesn't need, he says, I must bring them also. This is the mission of the Good Shepherd, to seek all. And guess what? He sends us to share so that others might come to his care and abundant life. We have the opportunity to just share our story. We don't have to go out and preach. We don't have to go out and tell somebody, well, this is how it's supposed to be. We tell our story. And we all have stories. And we all have stories of what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. And the confidence is he will continue to do in your life. So bottom line, the Good Shepherd is known by the life he gives. He gives us life. We play it forward. We share it. Simple. Little things that we do. Simple things. Christ accomplishes the reality of our reconciliation with God, not its possibility. It's real. This reconciliation is very real. And we get to live in it. We get to respond to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, who protects us, who provides for us more than enough. And he gives us opportunity to share as he sends us out. As we experience life, we share the story. You join me in prayer. Loving God, as we read through today's passage of the shepherd and the sheep and your care and your love and your protection, and everything good comes from you. Through the Father, Son, and Spirit, we experience a fullness of life. God, I ask that you would take each one of us and give us those opportunities to share. And God, in many times, that's a scary thing. But it's just our story. And God, give us that strength to share and to come together in community, come together as co-believers in you, of experiencing being in your flock, if that's the word, your relationship with this fold. God, I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I picked a particular translation that we've not heard for a while. It's much more English-based, if you will, but it's referred to as the Passion Translation. John 6:53-56. Jesus replied to them, "Listen to this eternal truth." No question, it's this, the truth, forever. "Unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have eternal life. Eternal life comes to the one who eats my body and drinks my blood, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my body is real food. For your spirit and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my body and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him." That's who we are. Jesus lives in us, and we live in him. He cares for us. He has provided the meal at the table, his broken body, his spilled blood. He has given us the life we have that is more than enough. What a blessing we are to have been included in his plan, to be a part of who he seeks. As we come to the table, maybe think a little bit about Jesus and his blessings in your life and what he's done for you this week. Maybe an unanswered prayer. Maybe a surprise card or letter. Maybe your health changed this week. Maybe you've had some challenges. But Jesus has always been and always will be in those moments. We don't have to include him. He's already there. But can you imagine the joy he experiences when you acknowledge his presence and thankfulness and blessing of him from the communion meal to our life on a daily basis? Loving God, again, we thank you for the meal that is provided from Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood, the sacrifice, everything that he does and has done and will do is moving us into that close relationship with you, the Father. God, I ask that you would bless the elements, that you put a special blessing on what we will soon ingest. And God, help us to never forget and always come to the center of Jesus Christ, to always stay anchored in the core of Scriptures, always anchored to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, our worship service is ending, but we know that as we leave here, you will continually be with us. Thank you, Jesus, for being the good shepherd. Our shepherd that we can trust to lead us as you lovingly direct us. We love you. We hear your voice. Holy Spirit, guide us and urge us to follow Jesus, our shepherd, and to put our complete trust in him. Father, may your kingdom come with Jesus as our King, with the entire earth and everyone on it praising you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll close our service with the Bible verse from Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Have a great week.